I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Fourth and final hour on a Sunday morning. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, getting you ready for week five of the National Football League. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You have Bears at the Raiders later today at 1 p.m. Eastern in London. Let's go out to London right now and welcome in Mark Rohde, who is the Bears sideline reporter. He's kind enough to be with us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Mark, thanks for the time. How you been?
Very good, Zach. Yeah, alive and well here in London, where it is 10:03 right now. And I'm just looking out my London window, and so far, clear weather. It's been kind of cloudy, gloomy, and cool here for the last 3 days that I've been here, and rain is in the forecast for later on what will be tonight in London when this game is played, but hopefully the bad weather will hold off. We shall see.
I know this is nothing that is new, and the NFL's been doing this for a while with these games in London, but paint the picture a little bit about how the game is received there from some of the fans maybe that you've been able to talk to since you know being out there.
Well, yeah, obviously it's more of a niche sport here, sort of the way soccer is in the United States, but I was told that this game, when the tickets were put on sale for the game at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, as it's called, the tickets were sold out immediately, and the street price, the market price on the streets is something astronomical from what I've been told. I haven't actually looked at it and verified myself, but trusting the natives here that the people who really are into the National Football League and American football, They are big time fans. They have Chicago Bears bars here. So there are people that have taken to American football and have specifically adopted the Chicago Bears as their team. I'm sure it's the same thing with the Raiders. There are probably some rabid Raiders fans in London as well. But the ones that are into it, they absolutely love it, sort of the way they do in America, just not the mass of there's not the volume of fans here in London as there would be in the States.
Is fantasy sports big there?
I haven't really gotten a grasp on that. I don't think so. I don't get the feeling that it is. Perhaps with those few that are into the game, maybe it is, but I don't hear a lot of buzz for fantasy football here.
And I don't have to ask you about the other forms of betting. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people with some money on this game, though, coming up later today, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I would imagine that is. They know how to do that here just as well as we do in the States.
Mark Gurdy here with us, Bears sideline reporter, Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get to the Trubisky stuff, when I just hear Bears and Raiders, I think back to the trade last year for Khalil Mack, and I don't care what people say at an analytics conference. The Bears 100% won that trade. I don't care what accolades they give the Raiders from that conference. Still, a year later, reflect on that trade, because for Chicago, even though they gave up a lot and they had to pay Khalil Mack, it keeps on getting better and better for Mack with the Bears.
I think so, Zach. I think it's always amazing that any time in sports, no matter what the sport is, when somebody lives up to either their contract or for whatever it was that they may have been traded for. And in Mack's case, it was both. The Bears gave up a lot to get him, and then they maxed him out in terms of the salary they were able to give him. And he has lived up to every one of those draft picks the Bears gave up and to every cent that they have given him. So, look, the Raiders know that the Bears have won this trade. And, maybe somewhere in the future it's slightly evens out. I don't even know if that's the right way to characterize it. It probably won't ever actually even out, but maybe they get some value out of it. And I know that they have gotten some out of their running back, Josh Jacobs, who's been pretty good, the rookie runner out of Alabama. But yeah, I mean, the Raiders just kind of look the other way when those questions come up. And I know John Gruden is sick and tired of hearing about it. He sort of deflected to other players on the defense, kind of saying, look, there's other guys on their defense too. We don't have to just talk about Khalil Mack. And, you know, was able to successfully do that. But what a nightmare this day would be if Khalil Mack does have, you know, two or three sacks on the day, which is just simply not out of the ordinary, or a forced fumble, or just doing what he does, and that is causing terror, it seems like, on every play. But it's amazing that Khalil Mack, who, you know, came to this Bears team, who had a pretty good defense with some stars on it and some popular players, and he is without a doubt the face of the Chicago Bears.
When we get to the quarterback and Mitch Trubisky, last week when I saw the injury, I turned the other way and thought he would be out for a long time. It seems like they're a little bit more optimistic that he's not going to miss as long as we originally thought, right?
That's kind of the underlying theme. We have nothing concrete yet in terms of that. Nobody has said anything, and when I say that, I mean coaches or players or trainers. Nobody publicly has said that. All we know for sure, at least on the record, is that he's out this week. The Bears, as you probably know, are on the bye the week after this, so you've got 2 weeks automatically that Trubisky will be off to give a chance to let that left, the non-throwing shoulder, heal. So, yeah, I would suspect, my guess is that he'll miss this game and at least one other game, and then maybe we'll see after that. In the meantime, it's going to be Chase Daniel.
How do you describe Trubisky as a quarterback in this stage of his career when he is healthy? Clearly, that's the big question mark with the Bears these days.
Yeah, it's been really interesting, Zach, because this was the year that he was supposed to, as the Bears head coach Matt Nagy likes to say, last year he was in the 100-level courses learning the Matt Nagy, Mark Helfrich offense. This year he was supposed to advance to what he now calls the 200-level courses, and it simply has not happened that way, that we all were expecting to see something completely different out of the offense this year. The offense was inconsistent last year. Mitchell Trubisky was inconsistent last year. He has struggled big time this year, even when healthy, as you asked, with the downfield passing game. That's been a big part. He has missed badly on a lot of his throws. You know, he's been much more comfortable with the dink and dunk type of throws, the underneath throws, which are good for this offense. But in order for this offense, the Matt Nagy offense, to work the way it's supposed to, you have to connect downfield, or at least give the appearance that you're going to connect downfield. And that is something that has not happened. It's a pretty sophisticated offense. You know, there's two plays going in on every single set. And it just seems like, for whatever reason, when it has gotten to the higher level, Trubisky has not been able to master it. What has happened, or what started to happen when Trubisky was in there, is Matt Nagy started to simplify things a little bit, do more of a running style, more screen, more, you know, calling more of the underneath throws, making it less complicated for Trubisky, who actually looked good until he got injured last week doing that kind of thing. But right now, for whatever reason, it's not clicking for Mitchell Trubisky. The organization has by no means given up on him, but there certainly needs to be much more from him for that to pay off, that second round overall pick.
And I'm sure Bears fans just keep on saying, and no one knew what Mahomes was going to be, but we could have had Mahomes, and they could have even had Watson, who was also in that same draft class, and you had the Bears trading up from 3 to 2 in that draft. How much conversation did the Bears fans give on local talk radio with Mahomes and Watson, how they could have been Bears?
Oh, you nailed it, man. It is absolutely...
Got to be driving themselves nuts, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and just like what you said, if they hadn't traded up for the pick, then it may be a little... I mean, still, Bears fans are going to be mad that, you know, you missed on the two. You know, one for sure is a superstar. The other one is close in Deshaun Watson to being a superstar. The fact that you targeted your guy and you purposely moved past those two guys, you know, obsessively to get Mitchell Trubisky, therein lies the problem. You know, I don't think, you know, the Bears fans have not completely given up, but there is that. There is that in the peripheral vision. and in the straightaway vision at times. And it's always game for a topic of conversation on sports radio and the sports radio station that I work on, for sure, yes.
What's the status of Akeem Hicks? And can you give us a little insight on the Roquan Smith situation from this past week?
Yeah, first, Akeem Hicks. It looks like, well, he practiced for the first time the other day here in London. They did their workout at a rugby stadium, and he was accounted for. He, you know, didn't practice full force, but from what I've seen of him at the team hotel, he's moved around well. I don't see him favoring what is a knee injury. He didn't seem to be limited in what I saw him doing in individual drills. My guess is, and this is not fact, but my guess is that he will play, because I just can't see them having tacked him on a 7-hour plane ride, you know, a guy this large with a knee injury. And I get that there's ways to treat things even on planes in this day and age, but I got a pretty good feeling he's going to play, especially since Matt Nagy told us last week that he was close to playing before they called it off. So that's the deal with Akeem Hicks. As far as Roquan Smith is concerned, first of all, it does look like he will play, barring any kind of setback between a couple days ago and today. And I have no reason to believe that there has been any kind of a setback, that the Bears middle linebacker will be playing today. As far as any kind of insight on what actually went down with Roquan Smith, I don't know if I've ever seen this before with a sports organization. The Bears have been really good at keeping it tight-lipped and keeping with the company line of it's a personal issue and nobody has leaked anything or said anything. You know, there's things that have been floated out there that I have not been able to verify, so I'm certainly not going to discuss them on the radio, but it's been a very interesting situation. You know, Roquan Smith has spoken only once since he was held out of the Minnesota game last Sunday because of the personal issue, and he really gave us nothing other than to say thanks for asking, but it's a personal issue and it's behind me. So that's as far as I have gotten personally with this Roquan Smith story.
Fair enough. Mark Rohde here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, he works for one of our great affiliates in Chicago at 670 The Score. He is the Bears sideline reporter. How do you think this game plays out?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting. Obviously, as always, I mean, I'll take the low-hanging fruit first, the Bears defense against the Oakland Raiders offense. And the thing about Derek Carr that I've noticed is that this is a good quarterback, but this is a guy who throws underneath a lot. They use their tight end, Darren Waller, particularly well. And that brings me to the guy we were just talking about and Roquan Smith. And then the other middle linebacker, Danny Trevathan. I think it's going to be a busy day for those two guys with the underneath throws. So I think that's going to be highly important. We talked about Khalil Mack and what that might mean. So that's what I'm going to be looking out for, right in the middle of the field, those intermediate throws from Oakland to the Bears defense. We'll see how the Bears defense is able to handle that. As far as the Bears offense against the Raiders defense, you know, you have the Chase Daniel factor. Daniel did look good in throwing the ball down the field. I think, believe it or not, Matt Nagy will open up the playbook a little bit more for Chase Daniel, who has been one of his star pupils at a couple of stops in the National Football League. And, you know, obviously with Vontaze Burfict out, the guy who was the play caller for the Raiders, Tahir Whitehead becomes that guy. So they have a different guy with the communication device in their helmet. We'll see how that plays out for the Raiders. I think overall, not a blowout by any means, but I do think that this game favors the Bears.
When we look at the NFC North, and this is a division we entered the year really not knowing who was going to win, and I don't think we have many answers right now through the first few weeks of the season. How do you view the other three teams in the division? Because Minnesota has a lot of negative noise on their offense entering this game, especially in their passing game. I know Cook's been unbelievable. The Lions have been better than anyone could have thought. And then the Packers, you know, you wonder that relationship with LaFleur and Rodgers, and then also their defense has improved, but their run defense still has a long ways to go.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, it's for sure you could look at this division, and I know it's so early, but people have been saying, you know, nationally and to some degree locally, and when I say that, I mean in Chicago, that this is one of the better divisions in football. I don't know if I trust that necessarily. You know, you mentioned Minnesota. It's pretty bizarre what's going on with Kirk Cousins and his struggles in big games and in the moment, and to the point where you hear murmurs coming out of Minnesota that they'll look into replacing Kirk Cousins next year, whether that be in the draft or in free agency again. I never trust the Lions. You know, they're 2-1-1 right now. they were a team too that everybody. This is what happens every year in the NFC North. They look out for the Lions this year. They're going to be better. Same thing this year. They're going to be better. Look at them. Look at how they played against the Chiefs. And you know they're 2-1-1. I don't trust the Lions to keep that up. You know, the Packers are tough, man, because they missed the playoffs the two previous years. It doesn't feel like the offense has really gotten cooking yet under their new head coach, as you mentioned. And the defense is better. I mean, the Bears saw the Packers on opening night at Soldier Field. And I will say that watching them close up, they did look noticeably faster as a team defensively. So really, I do think it comes down to the Bears and Packers in this division. Detroit, like I said, I don't trust. I think that they'll fall off the pace. And Minnesota is really hard to predict. They are very talented, but it just seems like there's a lot of volatility within that organization right now.
Last one for Mark Rohde, who is live with us in London right now on CBS Sports Radio. He has the sideline reports today coming up between the Bears and the Raiders. Let me throw you one curveball at you, and I'll end it with a baseball note. The Cubs, who's going to be their manager next year?
That's a great question, man. I think, oh man, there seems to be a lot of
David Ross, right?
Yeah, that's the name, and I realize that again, that's easy pickings. But he's the guy that has had momentum for a long time, even before Joe was not renewed, and then Theo Epstein at the press conference was not afraid to admit that they were interviewing David Ross. I think that Mark Loretta, who is the Cubs bench coach, has a serious chance at this gig. I don't feel like Joe Girardi has got a shot. I think that they want somebody who's a little bit more controllable by the front office. And Joe Girardi is an excellent manager, but it just doesn't feel like he's their type of guy at this point. And then a real dark horse candidate would be Mark DeRosa, who used to play with the Cubs and, you know, seems to be a really smart guy. So I don't know. That's a great, fun question to ask, and I love watching it and following it and reporting on it to some degree because I did work with the Cubs for 3 years.
Sure. Mark, hey, enjoy London. Safe trip back, and have fun calling the game today. We appreciate the time, Mark Rohde.
All right. Thanks, Zach. Anytime, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.